is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
Gloria Hicks McLaughlin from God's Word Life Source Ministries podcast, podcasting from godsword.eprn.us, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Welcome. The scripture reading is taken from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 from the NIV. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord's word reads thusly. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother, in humble circumstances, ought to take pride in his high position. The word of the Lord. At the break, we will listen to a song entitled The Impossible Dream by Luther Vandross.
to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, and to run where the brave dare not go, and to the unrightable wrong, and to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. Ooh, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the without question or pause, to be willing to march, march into hell for that heavenly call. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. Scorned and covered with scars, still strong with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable, the unreachable, the unreachable.
I like that in here. Seems right for the room, doesn't it? I want to tell you that I want to introduce you to the choir, who also need to be. Hi. Did you bring a spotlight with you by any chance? Oh, okay. I want to introduce you to the London Community Gospel Choir. Yes. Yay. Yes. Hey, y'all. They're under the direction of Basil Mead, right there in the corner. He organized it all for us.
When people ask me, well, Luther, you know, if you get a big number one pop record, won't you be running away from your R&B roots, et cetera, et cetera? I find it funny. I find it funny because there could be nothing further from the truth. I consider it like a pyramid that you're building. And the heavy part is on the bottom. And that's the foundation that I spent the last decade and a half building. You know, building a core base audience. And adding to that is something that I think everyone in my base audience, in my core audience, appreciates, you know? And it's nice to appeal to a wider audience, you know? Wider audience. And include them in what the R&B audience and listeners already know to be so.
Harriet Tubman was a major figure in the abolitionist movement to abolish slavery in the United States of America. At birth, she was named Arithmeta Minty Ross of slave parents. Her parents, Harriet Green and Ben Ross, were owned by the Brodess family. Her mother served as a cook, and her father was the manager of timber work on a nearby plantation. In her early years, she was faced with lots of hardships, such as having to take care of her brother and her sister while her mother worked. She worked in marshes, checking traps, served as a nursemaid, plowed fields, hauled timber. All of that, or most of that, sounds like a man's work, except for caring for your siblings. She was forced to work after contracting measles and became so sick that her mother had to care for her. When she was a teenager, Harriet suffered a head injury. Another slave owner threw a weight that was intended to hit another slave, but hit Harriet instead. She received very minimal medical care, and as a result of that injury, she suffered intense seizures, hallucinations, and headaches for the rest of her life. Circa 1844, she married a free black man named John Tubman. Then she changed her name from Arithma to Harriet. The marriage was complicated because Harriet was still a slave, and any children born to them would be slaves. In 1849, Harriet became sick, and her owner tried to sell her, so she prayed for his demise. About 2 weeks later, her owner died, and Harriet felt guilty and regretted praying for his death. But anyway, she and her two brothers planned to escape. Her brothers got cold feet and decided to return back to the plantation. So Harriet escaped alone, traveling through a connected group of homes, which became known as the Underground Railroad. Harriet described her experience of crossing the Pennsylvania border as a feeling of being in heaven. Harriet wasn't satisfied with just her freedom alone. She wanted others to be free as well, and she offered herself to others as a guide to freedom. However, in 1850, fugitive slave laws made this type of mission even more dangerous. It was to be enforced in all states. Harriet made approximately 19 trips to the South to rescue about 300 slaves. Harriet met an abolitionist named John Brown, who shared a similar philosophy of confronting slavery with head-on action. They both believed that the divine blessed their mission. Harriet shared with John Brown travel routes, helped him to recruit former slaves of interest in his mission, and apprised him of homes connected with the Underground Railroad. It was Senator William E. Seward, a Republican, who sold Harriet a parcel of land in Albany, New York in 1859. She erected a home for her family to move back to after fleeing to Canada. The home was a haven for free slaves during a time of racial tensions. In 1860, Harriet made her last rescue trip south in an attempt to rescue her sister and two children. Unfortunately, she learned that her sister had died. However, she was able to rescue another group of people. Difficulties, hazards, and dangers delayed the trip, and they finally reached New York safely by the end of December, or by December 1860. During the Civil War in America, Harriet Tubman worked many jobs to aid the Union, such as working as a nurse in Port Royal, caring for soldiers who had fallen ill to dysentery. After the Emancipation Proclamation, she led a band of scouts in the surrounding Port Royal area in collecting data and creating maps of the land. Tubman was the first woman to lead a raid in the Civil War. She commanded boats on the Combahee River, which resulted in the destruction of a multiplicity of plantations and the rescue of more than 750 slaves. After the Civil War, Tubman spent the rest of her life on her property in Auburn, New York. She married Nelson Davis, 22 years her junior, who was a bricklayer. They offered room and board to those in need and adopted a young girl named Gertie. They were together until Davis died of tuberculosis in 1888. Harriet then became a strong advocate for women's rights to vote. She traveled, giving talks about women's suffrage, using her life and other women's lives as evidence that women have suffered and struggled enough to be considered equals to men. Harriet Tubman died March 10, 1913, from pneumonia. Harriet Tubman is one of the most influential African-American women in the history of the United States of America. She made extensive contributions to ending slavery in the adversity of dangers and in light of her own lifelong maladies. Several schools were named after Harriet Tubman. A Cambridge, Maryland museum is dedicated to her. Her home in Auburn, New York, is now an educational center and museum. She is a member of the Maryland and National Women's Halls of Fame. She was the first African-American woman pictured on a United States of America postage stamp. There are multiple written and film biographies based on her life. She features in various operas. Harriet Tubman is by far an iconic figure, an authenticated legend, and an inspiration in the history of the United States of America. Anna Mae Dancy. Anna Mae Dancy was born to Jim Sanders and Anna Ella Tardy Sanders on September 28, 1931, in Tupelo, Mississippi. She was the youngest of nine children. She graduated from Carver High School, Tupelo, Mississippi, after which she went on to obtain her Bachelor of Science degree from Mississippi Industrial College, where she was honored as campus queen. Anna Mae Dancy was the epitome of an educator and coach. She taught history, health, and physical education to thousands of young people in Mississippi, to Missouri, to Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, she taught at the Martin Luther King School, the Solomon Leuenberg Middle School, Boston Technical High School, and Madison Park High School. She coached basketball, volleyball, and softball, and took her high school basketball team on to win local and state championships. She was an avid sports fan and loved attending basketball games as well as watching NBA games on television. In the summer months, she oversaw the operation of youth programs at Norfolk Park and Elmont Park. During this time, she instilled in countless youth the importance of self-love, social etiquette, and education. She also taught social etiquette classes at the Elma Lewis School of Fine Arts in Roxbury, Massachusetts, as well as engaged in several political campaigns. In 1956, she married James Dancy Sr., and to that union, seven children were born: Deborah Denise, Adrian Celeste, James, Francine Anita, Sheena Marie, Delfrida Jamise, and Anna Marie, who all went on to become educators, lawyers, and public servants. She reared her children to be responsible, to be respectful, to be strong, to appreciate life, and to have dignity. She loved entertainment and music. She had a soprano voice and routinely spent Saturday mornings teaching her children how to walk, dance, and hold a musical note, followed by challenging them with reading the World Book and Britannica encyclopedias. Anna Mae Dancy was a God-fearing woman of Christian faith and served her community through the AME Zion Church in Boston, Massachusetts. She was beautiful inside and out. She was classy and sophisticated. She loved to look good. She was a warrior with a strong constitution. She was compassionate and wise. She was known for her no-nonsense approach, her determination, being a gatekeeper for her children, and for the unwavering and unconditional love for her family. Anna Mae Dancy was the epitome of courage and wisdom. September 28th has been declared Anna Mae Dancy Day in Boston, Massachusetts. Thank you, Dr. Deborah D. Dancy and the Dancy family and your sister Carolyn Scott for your contribution to this portion of my podcast show. Continue being Dancy Strong. The closing song is entitled One in a Million You by Larry Graham.
Started to believe I'd never find anyone. Doubt I tried to convince me to give in. Said you can't win. But one day the sun came shining through. The rain had stopped. And the skies were blue. And oh, what a revelation to see. Someone was saying, I love you to me. Then I found a piece of happiness to call my own. And life is worth living again. For to love you to me is to live. Oh, life, show compassion and send to me a stroke of love. Call you a one in a million. You, a
You are now able to enjoy exquisite coffee and espresso by Exquisite Barista from the comfort of your home or office. Now delivering our exquisite collection of coffee blends and flavors right to you. Visit exquisitebarista.com, click the Sip Something New button, and explore the open coffee shop selection. Feel free to give me a call or text message at 704-727-6141. We're still in business to give our customers the best service and unique luxury experience that will continue to go above and beyond.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, www.eprn.us.